Good morning, listeners, and welcome to the final riddle-focused episode of Riddles in the Dark, brought to you by the Mythgard Institute. I'm your co-host, Dave Kale, and we have a very exciting day today. We're going to do like a wait, don't tell me lightning round version of all of the riddles. We're just basically going to take the last 3 months and demonstrate that all of it has apparently been a waste because we can get through all this material in one episode in just a couple of hours. Actually, that's probably wishful thinking. There's probably no hope we'll finish on time. And it's already been an exciting morning. We've done our usual start late. Corey's power went out. So we were really doing riddles in the dark for real. And we reviewed some Mythgard Mythmoot stuff this morning. It sounds like that's going to be fun. But anyway, we got a lot to get through, so let's get started. Let me introduce my co-hosts. As always, we have the Tolkien professor, Corey Olson. We have Trish Lambert. And I am very excited to tell
special
you
guest.
That we also have Laura Burkholz.
Yay!
So the whole team is here this morning.
Yay!
Excellent. All right, we have our complete final roundup today. So again, just to repeat what we're doing and where we're going, now that we've covered who we are, today is the final week, the final episode in which the riddle game will be live. So we have the riddle submission form, which we're going to be piloting. It's in its final test phase. It will be turned live to take real submissions later on today when this episode is posted. So you will see me. I'm gonna walk through and actually submit my entries here during the episode. And so remember how this is gonna work. You will have for the next what do we say, Trish? 2 weeks? Is that what we said for the
2 weeks? Well, yeah. And in fact, what I'd like to do is actually make it 2 weeks plus the weekend. So like okay. Sunday, the 21st, right? Is that right? So 2 weeks from today is the 19th. So Sunday the 21st, that gives people a weekend. Yeah.
Okay, right. So on Sunday, Sunday the 21st. So basically, by Frodo and Bilbo's birthday, it's too late.
There you go.
The riddle game will be over on their birthdays, and but you have until then to submit your riddles if you want to participate in our official game, and then for the rest of the year after we finish that, then we're going to be doing analysis and discussion of both the promotional materials that are released and new trailers, and of course the Lego sets, what we've been waiting for
of
all
course.
Year.
All true material.
Exactly. Really the most high quality material that we have to analyze.
And don't forget Desolation's extended edition, too. That'll be included in the fall.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And I'm very much looking forward to the extra 4 hours of footage that are due to come out in that.
By the way, I want to say that I know for a fact that there are a number of listeners who are determined to round out their collection of certificates by beating you this year.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge this year. I'm feeling it this year. I don't know. I think I'm going to be no pushover this season, so, you know, do your best. That's what I say. Dave pauses and then gives a dignified snort.
He was trying to hold it in.
I'm sure that'll all happen, Corey.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Okay, well, let's jump into this list. So you're going to time, right, with your very cool
absolutely.
Sci-fi.
I am the official timekeeper because that's obviously the best plan.
Right.
Give the person with the most discipline the prerogative
to time.
Laura
really should be the timekeeper, and Laura would be so nice about it.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't have that. I don't have the cool sounds on my phone.
I know. So we'll have to count it, Corey.
All right.
All right.
Let's go.
All right.
We're ready. Riddle 3.01. Scroll that screen up.
All right. So riddle 3.1. Who will kill Azog in The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies? A. Dan. Book answer. Sort of. That is because, of course, he's not killed in the Battle of Five Armies, but he is at least killed by Dan. Beorn, Which is also...
another book answer.
Sort of book answer. As Bjorn kills the leader of the Goblin army at the Battle of Five Armies, which isn't Azog, but whatever. C, a member of the company, including Thorin and Bilbo. D, a member of the White Council. So if Azog travels far afield, or if Gandalf kills him at the Battle of Five Armies, or whatever. Or if Radagast... ghost comes back and kills him or whatever. E.
The ghost of Radagast.
A combination of two or more of the above. And F, none of the above.
So?
All right.
What's it
going to
be?
What's it
going
to be?
C.
Now the question is, does everybody remember what they said?
Oh, no. Having gone through these riddles in the Google twice... I've completely forgotten everything that I said before.
And it doesn't matter
always.
Because we're allowed to change our answer.
That's right.
All right, well, see. I said Beorn.
By the way, the answers are also listed up on all the on the Riddles on the Dark page. If you go into each episode on Mythgard's site, you'll see what we answered as well.
Yeah.
Would you say you are, Laura? Are you C?
I said, no, I'm Beorn. I'm going to stick with the sort of kind of a book answer with this one.
The pseudo book answer.
You know, she's going to beat us all majorly because she's sticking with book answer most of the time.
Most of the time I stick with the book. Because what could be better than that?
Right.
I know, it's true. Okay, so you're going C. What are you going, Dave?
I'm sticking with my previous answer of C. I think they need to culminate the Thorin Azog, Thorin House of Durin storyline with right. Something that the viewers will be satisfied.
My name is Thorin Oakenshield, yeah. And you killed my father. Prepare to die.
Not random character who's been on screen for less than 5 minutes throughout the entire trilogy right. Comes out of nowhere and kills Azog. So that's what I'm going with.
Yep. That's exactly my rationale for
that as well.
Voting
because that's what
Dan.
I remember we talked about that as long ago as this was. I do remember that's what we talked about. And I'm also C. I agree. I think it needs to be Thor. I think Thor needs to be involved in the death.
Well, you guys
are so
wrong.
Huh?
I just have to
well, see, that's
right
the
now.
Thing. I mean,
that's right.
As we say, you should not vote what we vote because
we Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm not on the regular show, so I don't get that synergy of
You're outside the circle, which is good, Laura. No, that's good.
I don't get talked into anything. Yeah.
Let's see.
Okay.
All right.
Timothy Fisher is accusing me of having put E originally.
No, that's incorrect.
It's incorrect?
Oh, wait. Okay. No, that is correct.
It is correct?
Yes, you put E originally. Sorry.
Did I?
It was Trish and I that put C.
Did I have a good reason for it?
I think you said C. I don't think
so. At the time.
I think you decided that there were too many other potential things that we hadn't listed, that if you sort of add up the probability of all of those other possibilities, it ends up being higher than the...
No, that doesn't sound like my reasoning at all.
I think maybe you were thinking maybe Beorn and Thorin or something like that. Well,
that seems an unusually improbable answer for me. I think I'm going to have to stick with C this time.
Yeah.
Gerald says more plausibly, I think it would be awesome was the reason. Yes, that does sound like what my rationale would be.
Always good.
Yeah, okay.
Ryan said that it was going to be a combo of Thorin and Bilbo, and I think we may have discussed that and said that C wouldn't include that. Although, I don't know. That's up to the final voting, but I would think C would include the two together.
Okay. All right. I've convinced myself. Or rather, Ryan has convinced me of what I used to think. So, yeah. All right. I'll shift back to E.
Okay.
Perfect. Convinced you of what you used to think.
Exactly. Yep. It's all
okay,
good.
Okay. Conundrum 3.01. Will Bolg and Azog both be at the Battle of the Five Armies?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
I think that's...
Yeah,
I think
it's
inevitable
much,
at this point.
We've definitely seen Bolg there already, right? I mean, in the zippy trailer.
Well, he's at the mountain.
He was on Ravenshill. Yeah, he was on Ravenshill, right? Bolg was.
Oh no!
There's the timer.
Okay.
We're
done. On to the riddle 3.02.
All right.
All right. Riddle 3.02. What stand will Legolas and Toriel take regarding the Siege of Erebor? A. Neither openly defies Thranduil. It's the also sort of book answer. B. It's like they will do nothing is pretty much the book answer. B. Legolas supports his father. Toriel openly defies him. C. Toriel supports Thranduil. Legolas defies him. D. Both openly defy Thranduil.
That's a toughie.
Yeah, I said D on this one.
I'm saying D also. Because, you know, the thing is, we see Thranduil, but he's by himself in Dale, which still is confusing to me. I'm assuming Tauriel and Legolas are already well in the...
Oh, are we allowed to use information to answer the question?
No.
Yes, that's
No. Oh, information is completely illegal.
That's not true.
Absolutely not. No. No, ignorance is the only policy.
That's the reason you and we're allowed to change our answers is because we knew, as in previous years, things change between the time we answer and the time we actually finish the riddle game. So, yes, yeah. You were allowed to answer. To use the, I don't care what Corey just said. I'm going to go with D on this. I don't know what I originally answered, but I'm going to go with D.
Yeah, I've got D as well. And yeah, answered D.
I'm going with Laura. Laura's my girl there.
Yeah.
B. Corey, what are you going to do? You going to go with B?
B. Okay. I think that Legolas is eventually going to come around, but I still think that there is going to be tension between Legolas and Toriel. I think that, like, basically, Toriel kind of talked him around, and he Legolas has had an apparent, you know, kind of change of heart, and we see him in the refugee camp and stuff, and I think that that's going to impact him, but he's going to I think that basically he's going to be supporting the people of the lake, but I think he's going to be agreeing with his dad as far as antagonism against the dwarves in the siege.
Interesting. You and I have switched our answers. We swapped.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I will stick with my previous answer of D.
And I have to admit that I'm being swayed by, well, okay, information would be a pretty heavy-handed way of describing it. I'm thinking of, like, that about half-a-second frame that we got of Toriel and Legolas, like, in profile, in the mountains, talking in that first trailer. And that has, it just that sort of mulling over that particular shot has sort of solidified my own thinking that they're going to keep the sort of the tension between them, and that I think it's only going to increase as he becomes suspicious of, like, her soft spot for this studly but diminutive person. So, yep. Sharon asks, what do we say if Legolas waffles back and forth? This is a good question. And again, I don't think, I'm saying that Legolas supports his father, but again, the question is regarding the Siege of Erebor. That is, while they're at the gates, and, you know, we're assuming there's going to be some measure, and the Traor certainly seems to support the fact, that there's going to be some measure of standoff at the gates of the Lonely Mountain before the goblins attack. During that time, like, that's the crucial time. And what position are Legolas and Toriel going to be taking towards Thranduil, during that time? And it's during that time is now I'm suspecting he's going to be in line with his dad. But he's going to come around. Like, by the time of the battle, I think he's going to come around. But I think he's still going to be...
on dad's side.
Yeah, on dad's side. Even if for bad reasons.
Before that... D? You're still going D? Now, before that timer goes off, what about Conundrum 3.02? I will jump out right now and say, after multiple episodes of my insisting that Legolas is going to spot the Belguldur, I'm changing my vote to no.
Okay.
All right. I'm staying with yes. Yes.
Oh, and... Brianna has asked an important clarifying question. It's not open defiance unless they confront Thranduil with their grievances directly. Yeah, they have to be, like, acting against him.
Well, we don't... I mean, the voters will decide eventually, but that's the intent.
Yeah. But just, to define our intent of that, Yep.
So, conundrum? Conundrum, folks?
I'm going no.
You're going no? Okay,
yep.
That's consistent. Dave?
I have no idea what... I don't even know if I've answered most of these before. I'm going to go with yes.
Timer.
I think that's a nice variation on the Gandalf saying, you know, dread is upon you.
Right.
Okay, so you went yes. And, you know, this could come back to bite me because it's still conceivable that it could happen.
Oh,
so.
I mean, just think of the horrible irony, Trish, if, like, this thing that you championed and then turned away from at the last minute turns out to be correct. I mean, you'll be gnawing your tongue in frustration.
I will. And it'll be the one thing that causes me to lose to you.
Oh boy. Oh, just imagine what that would be like, Trish.
Just imagine.
But it's okay. It's fine. Vote no, that's what I say.
I can imagine the groans in the theater.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, and the subsequent mockery. But anyhow, we hit the timer. So, riddle 3.03. Where will The Hobbit, The Battle of Five Armies begin? A historic flashback in any location. Erebor in the present, Lake Town in the present, Dol Guldur in the present. E. None of the above, including a prologue or frame narrative.
All right. Well, I said Dol Guldur in the present. D. For that.
Dang it. What is the difference between A, historic flashback A, and prologue of E?
Prologue would be like the Galadriel fellowship.
Like an exposition voiceover thing. Historical flashback is how film 2 started, with like flashing back to Thorin and Gandalf meeting in Bree. That's like a, you know, not a moment of exposition. You know, not like, let's begin the film with a dark screen and Galadriel quoting Treebeard. Like, that's that would be E. But let's go back to Bree several years ago and, like, Gandalf and Thorin meeting. That's A.
Oh, sorry. This was all written down in the Google Doc. Apparently I asked this question last week.
You're consistent.
It's so excellent when we're all consistent.
Good clarification.
Yeah. I believe I said before and still believe D. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to start with Dol Guldur. I don't think, you know, I do not anticipate we're going to, you know, do the whole Dol Guldur thing there, but I do think that's where we're going to start.
Laura, what's your reasoning for D?
What was my reasoning? I think that the Dol Guldur thing has to come early on because... we don't want it to really conflict with the Battle of Five Armies. And, you know, they've only got 3 hours or whatever for the movie. So I felt like they're not going to go right to Smaug because that's going to take up a good part of the first part of the movie. I thought that they would do something fairly short in Dol Guldur, too. That's my reasoning.
Okay, so I'm going with C because I'm trusting Peter Jackson. Again, could be a problem, but he has said that he's going to go straight into action. He's going to there's not going to be like any time change between the end of film 2 and film 3. So I'm thinking it's going to be Lake Town rather than Erebor. I mean, that's the toughie. Is it going to be Erebor? Like, I think it's going to be Lake Town. I think we are going to see the dragon first off firing Lake Town.
Beginning with an action sequence is certainly an attractive idea, but no, I think we've been away from Gandalf too long. I think we start with Gandalf. I'm not saying I think we're going to start with Galadriel coming in to rescue Gandalf.
No, right.
I think,
right.
But I do think the opening sequence is going to be like Gandalf in prison.
Well, and based on what Jackson has said, I think D is still really a viable thing. I mean, all he said is there's not going to be any time. You know, shift. In other words, it's going to be like a continuation, but that doesn't mean it's going to be Lake Town. It could very well be Dol Guldur because he's tricksy that way, that New Zealand hobbit.
Yeah, I mean, there's action in Dol Guldur in the present time, too.
Yes, exactly.
I originally put E. I think I did that. I think that was an exercise in wishful thinking because somebody wrote down under our options for including frame narrative, someone put, meanwhile in the offices of Grub and Burrow.
Yes, this is the one where you wanted the one to start with, like, the auction. Ready to be fired up. Yeah.
Everybody going, where is Bilbo? Let's auction off his all his stuff.
Yeah. I'm going with, I was going to say A, but there's a sense in which we've sort of gone through all these, right? The first movie started with frame narrative and prologue, voiceover, and historical flashback, and then the second one started with historic flashback. But I think some kind of historic flashback. I'm changing my answer to A.
Okay.
What if it's a some wishful thinking again? What if it's a historical flash forward to the Battle of Dale?
Love it, because that wouldn't be confusing at all to anybody. Yeah. Especially if we can have Dan, whom we've never yet met, dying as an old man at the very beginning of the film. That would be awesome.
That would be great.
Over the body of...
Of the grandson of... Ban's son. No, it's great.
Oh,
quick, hurry, conundrum. Will we see a direct connection between Smaug and Sauron in Movie 3? Yes.
Three.
Quick, yes or no? Quick!
I said yes.
That's not an easy one, is
no.
it?
No.
You're
saying no. I'm saying no.
Okay. Excellent.
On to 3.04.
Okay, 3.04. How will Bard escape from prison? He escapes on his own. The dwarves get him out, perhaps with help from Toriel. Bard's son gets him out. A combination of B and C, that is, the dwarves get him out, and Bard's son gets him out, and E, none of the above.
I'm pretty sure I went C last time. We talked at length about this, and I really liked the idea of Bard's son getting him out. Oh no, I think I went with D. I think I went with a combination of B and C. The son and the dwarves. Yeah.
I'm D as well.
Yeah.
I love the legacy story. I love the descendants of Gurion redeeming themselves, and also Ban's disappearance was, like, too complete or too quick. He's obviously going to come. I mean, he has to come back because he's got the Black Arrow, so, you know, they have to have him back. But, yeah, C. I'm saying C.
Dave?
I don't remember why I... So Corey changed his answer again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember why on earth I picked B instead of D, because it seems very unlikely it would just be the dwarves. Unless Bard's son is doing something else.
Doing something else. That might have been what
with the
thinking.
Black Arrow. But the Black Arrow seems useless without Bard, so it seems like he would be involved. Really shouldn't be changing my answers. This is like test taking 101, right? Don't go back through and change all your answers, especially since I gave it a lot. I'm sure I gave it a lot more thought back then than I have time to give it thought right now. But
you're so much wiser now than you were then.
Definitely not. On the other hand, all the listeners thought D. Maybe that's what I should be doing. I should be just going through and changing my answer to what the majority voted. Oh. I'm going to go with, I'm changing to D. I think it'll be the dwarves and Bard's
son. And the sun, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
yes.
I mean, I'm skeptical. I have to say, I'm skeptical. Yeah. No, I mean, of these, like, there's a clear answer as to which is the most awesome answer. And that answer is clearly C. So, I'm sticking with it. I think that's pretty plain. Laura, did you vote on this one?
Oh, yes. I said D as well.
D, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, so it's a shoe-in. We're definitely right.
Absolutely.
Okay, will Toriel be involved in breaking Bard out of prison? The question, though, is Toriel a descendant of Gurion? No, she is not. Therefore,
that's right. To be consistent, you have to say no. That's right.
Yeah. So that was.
I said no as well.
I think she's on her way to meet Legolas up in the mountains, so I said no.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, what happens if you put, like, C, Bard's son will get him out, the descendants of Garion will redeem themselves, and then you say, yeah, Toriel will be involved.
Well, that's hedging your bets, definitely. Yeah, but the riddles count 2 points, and the conundrum only count one, so...
Yeah. I think you should hedge your bets, Corey.
No way, man. I'm confident in the line of Garion.
That's right.
I've got my narrative, and I'm sticking with it.
All right.
Besides which, I still think that Toriel is primarily going to be playing the role of, like, you know, both she's going to be trying to shoot down the dragon and that likely not working, but she's also going to be, like, scurrying around and, like, rescuing people. I see her being primarily, like...
Well, that's true.
The Angel of Mercy in Lake Town.
Yeah, because what don't we see isn't she in that picture with Legolas on the outskirts after the burning... It wasn't that in the trailer?
Yeah, I think so.
Where they're standing out by the lake and
Yep. So no, I think she's going to be mostly like, yeah, she's going to be dashing around like I am the pointy-eared Angel of Mercy during the destruction of Lake Town, and you know, yep, that's what's going to happen.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. Hey, we're
all right,
early
we set
on
that timer. We did good. We didn't set off the.
Excellent. Yeah, we know we still have 20 seconds left. Okay, riddle 3.05. What will the master be doing during Smaug's attack? A, escaping Lake Town. B, and for this one, is this the first one for which we've actually had, like, a legitimate book answer?
I think
it is, yes. Yes, actually an incident positively described in the book. A, escaping Lake Town.
I took to the fifth riddle.
Exactly. B, cowering somewhere in town. C, shouting orders while obviously staying clear of danger. That is, the master is fronting while not actually putting himself in peril. And D, moving around in the middle of the action.
Probably the most unlikely answer.
So yeah. D is the one where, like, D suggests he's actually acting with courage. Is that
that's the inference. Yeah.
Yeah. For the sake of completeness,
as opposed to cowering somewhere in town. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's one answer. I guess it would be E. I answered A, but I thought the other answer that might be likely in Jackson's universe is that he gets killed.
Right.
That would be a prominent none of the above answer.
In fact,
in my mind, it was like, it could be he's attempting to escape Lake Town, but he ends up getting killed with a building crashing down on him or something.
Right, yes. I suppose we didn't include the answer, like, starting the initial stages of decomposition, but we could have done that, I suppose. But yeah, we'll just lump that into E.
Because I mean, on the death list, I actually plan to be putting the master on the death list, so that's why I got to thinking about that this could be a...
Yeah, yeah.
I put Alfred on the death list, because he's got to go. He definitely has to go.
Sooner or later, he's got to go.
I'm surprised we didn't include a specific answer that is Alfred kills him.
Right. Well, you know, it's E.
Oh, that's E. Right.
Yeah.
That's an E.
I don't know why I think that. It just seems like that'd be kind of funny.
Well, the way in which Alfred was very sort of actively manipulating the master, you know, shows that he's obviously not just a dutiful lackey. So, you know, he's got his own game. How killing the master in this moment serves his interests is not obvious to me, but I don't know.
By the way, I do want to tell the other three hosts, you know, the other three hosts, that's me. We do want to submit these answers if you can, because I want to publish our answers with this episode, if possible. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All
right.
Yep.
So I recall our reasoning on this. We all, like, Corey, Trish, and Dave all put B when we initially did this episode.
Yeah.
And I recall the reasoning is we felt like that was too interesting of a character to not have him remain involved. Like, by having him remain, like, if he leaves town, we're taking him out of the story.
Right.
So we wanted to keep him in the story. But you sort of still captured that cowardly nature of him by having him just cowering.
Yeah.
And it seems like he would be interesting to keep around to be involved in the siege. Even though he's not really involved in the siege in the book, he is a name, right? Like, Roak tells Thorin, oh, you should don't listen to the master talk to Bart.
Right.
So
right. Right, exactly.
And also, having him cower during Smaug's attack doesn't mean he doesn't die later on. So he could do both. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, and as I recall, my argument, if I remember correctly, this is where I was making an elaborate argument based on a Jane Austen film to explain why A was an insufficient answer, and it had to be B. And that made an enormous amount of sense at the time, as
You're
I recall.
Such a show off, Corey.
I just
in retrospect.
Should show off what exactly? Like my arbitrary connections between.
You can cross literary streams, you know, bring Jane Austen into Middle Earth. I think that's
sure. Okay, I guess you know.
It works for me.
To appeal to a different demographic.
Right. Yes.
Oh, I don't know. My second favorite author is Jane Austen.
Yeah,
mine too.
A lot of Jane Austen.
In fact, I'm waiting for Pride and Prejudice online. I'm gonna play that.
That would be hilarious. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, like an MMO based on a book of manners is really. How would you level up exactly? That's what I want to know.
Snubbed Mr. Darcy, you get 1,000 XP points.
Yeah. Exactly, you'd have like exactly, you'd
aren't
have
they,
like instance the Netherfield Ball. But anyway,
didn't I just read this?
Aren't there is a like Jane Austen game, yes.
I think it's going to be like a sort of an online card game type thing, not like an MMO, but yeah.
A card game? What, like Magic or something? Like,
yeah.
Pride and Prejudice, The Gathering.
Card. Yeah.
The Gathering.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, God, we're going to have to set the 5-minute timer just because we're not talking about the riddle.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, 30 seconds. Okay, B. Yeah, B. Cowering. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Cowering.
I'm going to go with B also.
Okay. Will the Lake Town Dwarves arrive at the Lonely Mountain before... Yes. Oh, sorry, did everybody vote? Everybody vote?
I put A.
Okay, A, right.
Big A. Mistake.
Big mistake, yeah. Clearly.
All right, Lake Town Dwarves.
Will the Lake Town Dwarves arrive at the Lonely Mountain before the siege by men and elves?
Yes!
Yes.
This appears to have been confirmed by the trailer, but, you know, it's hard to tell the timing on things. Ooh, yeah.
Ah, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
You could fiddle around on this one and be like, well, maybe it didn't show it in the trailer. Come on.
It does. I think it clearly shows in the trailer. But the question is, again, the timing is not obvious. You know, that could be misleading. But
except that we do see them in armor marching out later, so.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Yeah, no, okay. I think that one has been made pretty clear. Okay. Riddle 3.06. How will Thorin summon Dan and the dwarves of the Iron Hills? A. A raven or other kind of bird. B. A subset of the dwarves will go fetch Dan. C. Dan and his people will come without summons. D. The Arkenstone will mystically signal loyal dwarves to join their king. E. None of the above.
It's so funny, I'm reliving creating these riddles as we go through them.
Okay.
This is not an easy one. You know, we've got that the cart thing, you know, with the dwarves on it. And some of the listeners have theorized that could be them trying to go out. But we do have Bilbo up on Raven's Hill, presumably with Keely as well, right?
Yep.
And one would think that perhaps they're up there to summon with a bird.
Possibly.
You've got to answer A on this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, this one is...
I mean,
it was
a question, right?
I was kind of chuckling when you said that this is a hard one, because it's not, but...
for the rest of the world.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, this is Roach's moment in the spotlight, so there we are.
Yeah.
I have to say, if I weren't saying D. A, I would say D, though.
D? The Arkenstone?
I totally would.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I still...
He might not have the Arkenstone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what he wants it for, you know, to send up the dwarf signal, so yeah. But Timothy, no, if the Arkenstone projects an enormous raven-shaped image in the sky, that doesn't count as A, that's still D. No ambiguity is created by such a thing. Just to make sure that we're perfectly clear.
I'm going to go with A. I think it will be. I mean, since we see him up on Raven's Hill, and like Kim points out, we do see Balin with the Raven, you know, a scene even that was cut from Desolation of Smaug. So I do think there's going to be a Raven, live Raven motif, not just the stuff on Thorin's armor. So I'm going for A now.
Yeah.
Although with the conundrum, I'm going to say no. I don't think they're going to name the Raven. I don't think they're going to specifically say it's Rook. Sorry, Corey. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I thought you said yes to that one.
I may have, but I'm not now. I'm saying no to it.
Oh, yeah, just because I said no.
Oh, did you say no? See?
Yeah, I said
I'm
no.
I'm channeling Laura. Okay, good.
I said no. And I don't think there's going to be a Raven. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, you're killing me.
So which one do you think it is then? How do you think it is?
There might be a Raven flying by, but I don't think
it's going to be. They'll do the book principle.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, out the window, Laura.
All except for the talking animals. I don't think he's going to.
I think he'll just be, we should send for Dine. All right, grab the messenger raven. And someone will just walk on with a bird. They'll tie a message to it and send it off. Just like a la Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Very easy to do this without a talking animal.
Do you think that Game of Thrones makes it more or less likely that they would use that motif? I can't decide. I could see it going either way. Because on the one hand, it would seem less outlandish because people are accustomed to seeing it. Yeah. But on the other hand, it might seem like a ripoff, even though, of course, it's the other way around.
Well,
but
we have the messenger moth. We don't have the messenger birds.
Yeah.
Right. Messenger moths.
I don't know if it makes it more or less. I don't know if it actually even affects the likelihood of it. I just feel like it demonstrates that it could easily be done without the absurdity of a talking animal.
So I am on pins and needles here. I want to know what Laura's answer is to this one.
To which one?
To this.
Oh, the conundrum?
No, to the riddle. Did you already say?
Oh, yes. It's B. The dwarves are going to go. They're going to send some dwarves out to fetch him.
In a cart pulled by goats, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
All right. Dave, did you say?
No,
did
I didn't know
say,
about that.
Did Dave say A?
Yeah, I'm going with A. I think it'll be a messenger bird.
Okay.
But I don't think it will be Roak by name.
By name, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And as
I think the other thing that's kind of likely is C, too. They might just come because they might just see, you know, the fire on the mountain.
Dust on the horizon.
Exactly. So they might just come anyway, see what's going on.
Dine might send out scouts, and then the scouts come back, and he goes, "Battle pig, ho!"
Exactly.
Yeah.
He might send out raven scouts. But anyway, okay. That's good. I think we've established this one. Oh, and the time is up. So, 3:07. Look at this efficiency.
How much we can get in 5 minutes.
How will Thranduil relate to the men of Lake Town with regard to the siege? A, as a wise and benevolent and passive supporter, book answer. B, as an active ally on equal terms. C, as the dominant force of the combined party. D, the two armies arrive at Erebor independently. I guess we should have put E, he will randomly wander around into danger by himself. I guess we should have added that in retrospect.
There should probably ought to be a none of the above on this. We didn't put one on, actually.
Yeah. Can you add a none of the above? Is that possible?
I'll do that when we... Okay, just all listeners understand, we will have a none of the above on this one.
Yeah, so you can pencil in an E. Not literally, because...
I actually think it's going to be B. Whether he's grudgingly an active ally, you know, he may not be like a enthusiastic active ally, but I think it's going to be B. I don't think he's going to be able to pull a I'm better than you thing with Bard. Especially having seen how the elf army, you know, parts the way for Bard in the trailer.
Okay, what if Legolas is there with them in the refugee camp? So Legolas gets all like, Bard is a dude and I'm supporting him. Besides, he looks like the other character that I play in another movie, so I feel an intrinsic empathy for this guy. So I'm going to be supportive of Bard and the people. So he's all like, I'm on equal terms, I'm buddies with Bard, and then his dad comes in and is going to do his elitist snobby thing, which is what leads him to be like, well, fine, I'm just going to go wander myself in the ruins until goblins attack me personally, and then that will somehow... teach you a lesson.
I think it would have to be an E, because that's definitely not C, because he wouldn't be the accepted dominant force.
Yeah, no.
So that would be an E answer for sure.
I don't remember at all what I said, but I'm going with C. Well,
okay.
Yeah, I'm going with C as well. I'm going to go with C.
I'm trying to remember, what did we say was...
Hang on, I'm changing my mind already. But sorry, go ahead.
I recall my theory here is that he would maintain a pretense that Bard was in charge, but would be manipulating Bard, or sort of, you know, like...
Yeah, I can't see...
Strings.
Would that I can't be, see Thranduil taking a backseat to Bard.
Would that be A or C? Well, he's already... I mean,
or
he's
E.
Kind of already... He's already demonstrated himself in the film to be kind of a shrewd and manipulative guy, you know, because he initially, when the dwarves come in, he's like, welcome, Thorin Oakenshield.
Right.
I'd love to
right.
help you. It's good to have you. Yeah,
right.
Let's see.
Oh,
and then when
he's
Thorin,
so obviously not.
Yeah.
Not
and then when Thorin's here. Uncooperative, he's like, oh, that's too bad. Into the prison with you. Oh, crap.
I could see B still being active, even though he still thinks he's better than the men, because they are united against, they're united in a mission initially to go, like, route out, Thorin.
I just wonder, what happens if what's going on is Bard's like, you know, well, man, I don't know what to do about this Thorin, and Thranduil's like, oh, I think you should go confront him. Here, take my army, you know? Right. Yeah, 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 go pick a fight with him. I'll be back here. You go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
Here,
I'll be standing over in these ruins where it is presumably safe. Yes.
Yeah. I just kind of wonder, I wonder if he will sort of manipulate Bard into a confrontation, whereas Bard...
Well, except that isn't it Thranduil we see yelling at... Thorin, we're here. What is it he said? Something about your package has arrived. He says something about
what? It seems to package has arrived.
You need to sign for this.
Well, it seems to imply that Thorin may not know this, but we now have the Arkenstone kind of thing. You remember he says payment due or something. I forget what he says in the trailer, but it's something like that.
You need to sign this. Okay, I'm going with D, actually.
I'm having a laughing, but I have to turn myself on.
I'm going with D, because Tim tells me I said this already before, which is cool, but
yes.
I'm now more convinced than ever of it, especially, I am officially suspecting that, that scene in the trailer where the elves, you know, turned and seemed to salute Bard, I think they're saluting Thranduil, I don't think they're saluting Bard, I think
yeah,
Thranduil is on the other end.
Thranduil's on the other end, yeah, no, I think
exactly,
that's
so, I think
Which
this is actually,
like,
yeah.
He
yeah.
may think that they're doing it for him, but they're actually not. They're
right, exactly.
He just
exactly.
has to be there.
Yep. Yep. So, so I'm going D. Let's see what, oops.
Uh-oh, quick.
Thranduil's move towards Erebor reflect a clear change into the isolationist policy. Yes.
It's probably just as well, because this one is open to a lot of conversation, frankly.
I say no.
Yeah, I'm not sure, actually.
When you say move toward Erebor, I mean, I think by the end of the movie he'll have a change, but I don't think him going to Erebor is going to...
What prompts him, yeah. The
change.
The intent is what stimulates him to go to Erebor.
I think it's the gold.
Yeah, I'm going to say no on this, too, I think.
All right.
I actually didn't pick an answer for the riddle.
No, I don't think you were here. You were not in that episode, I don't think. Oh, you never did?
No, I was. I just, I mean, for finalizing it here.
Okay.
I wanted to, so suppose what we see on screen is that it looks like Bard's in charge, and that to all appearances it looks like he's in charge, but the viewers can tell that Thranduil is pulling the strings. What, which category would you guys say?
That would either be C or E.
Is that an E?
I would say either C or E.
I'd say that
the dominant force of the combined army,
charge.
To me, as the dominant force of the combined army, I mean, are we talking about it being obvious and everybody's acknowledging
yes.
that he's a dominant force?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Like he's
so
in command.
So it's overt in C. So I think that what you're talking about, Dave, would be an E, because it would be more subversive, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah. I would agree that if he is acting subversively, it would be E.
Okay. All right. I'm going with E then.
All right. And I'm going to fix this, but it's not going to be up. You're going to have to refresh your screen, Dave, which means you have to put everything in again. But
that's fine. Okay. I'm keeping a spreadsheet with all my answers.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And if I'm going to have to enter these again, somebody's going to have to tell me, because I'm going to forget again.
You won't need to. No, you won't need to. You just submit at the end. You're fine. You're fine, because you didn't pick E on that one, so we're good.
All right. Okay, cool. Yeah, because like I said, goodness knows, 5 minutes from now, I will have already forgotten what I've said on this.
Conundrum for me is no.
Conundrum is no?
Yeah. I don't think he's changing his
That's good.
Solution.
That's good. More separation between me and the pack. That's what I say. I'm all for it. Okay. Riddle 3.08. What does Bilbo do with the Arkenstone? A. Gives it to the elves and or men. Book answer. Another book answer. Hooray. That's our second one in 8 riddles. Gives it to Thorin or another dwarf. C. Keeps it. D. He never had it. E. None of the above. What was none of the above again? Like, was this one of those that we just put none of the above because we wanted...
Dave, are you looking at the notes? Yeah, because we wanted to...
I'm pulling it up right now.
Oh, yeah, he gives it to Gandalf, Sharon suggests. Yes, that would be an E. Yeah, yeah.
He accidentally kicks it off.
Oh, right, Gerald is right, yes. Someone forcibly takes it from him. Yeah. Right. That was my favorite E answer, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which, upon rereading the book over the weekend... it seems absurd that the elven sentinels who capture Bilbo don't find the Arkenstone.
Yeah.
God, they've got to have the worst guards ever. They're like, oh, look, here's a spy from the other camp. Let's capture him and carry him into our camp to meet with our bosses without checking
without frisking him.
Yeah, they don't even pat him down. Yeah. Yeah, the Hobbit could be packing for all they know. Okay. I say... Gosh, I have no idea what to say for this one.
Laura, what are you saying?
A.
Well, I say A. And in fact, for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 riddles, I say A. So... I missed book answer.
Indeed, previously, indeed, according to the Google Doc, we all put A.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay.
So Corey, the obvious thing to do here is change your answer.
For no reason.
We can't all have A.
Why am I always the stooge who has to change his answer?
I wasn't telling you had to. I was telling you that seems like the sort of thing you would do.
That's right. This is my opportunity. Yes, exactly. Well, no, I still think that's going to happen. I definitely don't see B. I certainly disbelieve D. I think he obviously has it.
That'd be tough to change. That's one of the pivotal points of the book, really, that Bilbo does that. I mean, not that you can't change it, I suppose, but...
Yeah, the only thing I could see is... I think the only non-A answer that tempts me is the somebody forcibly taking it from him.
Right. But, you know, I just don't see that within Bilbo's character. I mean, I think it makes sense that Bilbo would be, you know, that Jackson would portray Bilbo actually voluntarily giving it, much like in the book. I just think it's consistent with how Bilbo is portrayed in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He comes
into his own as the burglar.
Right.
Now, I mean, as I recall, one of my rationale in the episode... thinking it through, or my biggest concern was him giving it to
those who appear to be the enemy is a much bigger deal in the film world than it was in the book. Because in the book, it was just essentially a trinket that Thorin really, really, really wanted. And therefore could be given over as a bargaining chip, and which would still be, certainly in Thorin's eyes, a betrayal, but doesn't actually undermine or jeopardize his friends in any way. It's merely a rebuke to Thorin's own greed. Now that the Arkenstone is actually mission critical to their entire quest and purpose, his giving that over to the enemy is would have to be an act of betrayal even in his own eyes, and not only in Thorin's. So him handing it out, the A answer, I think, has a very different and very highly increased weight in the film than it would than it had in the book. Yeah. For that reason. Yeah. For that reason, I could talk myself into B, imagining him actually giving it over to them, or even some awesome E combination of like where he gives it to them, sees they're going to act badly, then steals it back and hands it over to the enemy.
No!
But I guess I'll stick with A. But I do think it's...
I rewatched the confrontation between Thorin and Bilbo last night when Bilbo comes back from the hoard room, you know?
Yeah.
And that just even more convinced me that I think he decides to give it to the elves and men, because Thorin's acting pretty crazy in that scene.
Yeah. Maybe he believes that the Arkenstone makes you crazy, so he deliberately goes and delivers it to Thranduil, hoping to undermine him.
Well, yeah, Smaug tells him that, right? I mean, Smaug goes to great lengths to, you know, convince Bilbo of that.
Oh, well, and the conundrum's obviously yes, so we're fine there.
Anybody else want to talk about the conundrum?
So I'm sticking with A.
No. It's not going to have supernatural powers.
Totally.
No.
Yep.
I mean, what would it, like, glow or something? Or is it going to start talking? Or is it going to...
People's eyes turn into spirals, you know, like
it's going to... I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be awesome. I think... No, I mean, it's just... I at first, I thought that it was just, you know, I thought that the thing was a symbol. I was puzzled by the reference to, like, granting the divine right and whatever. But from the second film on, I am more and more convinced that it is actually...
supernatural powers.
Yeah. Yep.
Laura, we should make Mythmoot t-shirts. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be awesome. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Dave, you're being very quiet.
A and no. I agree with you, Corey, that Bilbo betraying them and handing over the Arkenstone is much bigger, and there's some fun possibilities to consider. It gets stolen from and stuff, but I think it's too big of a story beat. I think it works really well with the story they're telling on screen too. For the Thorin Bilbo. Confrontation. I think that the way they've set things up in the film, that's going to have even more emotional. The rift between them is going to have even more emotional weight, and then their resolution at the end than it does in the book. And so I think they can't. I think it would be a shame to change this, and I don't think they will. So, A and then no. I'm dead set against magical Arkenstone. For God's sake, please don't. Do
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Brace yourself. Okay.
Yep.
What becomes of Radagast in movie 3?
Oh, 3.09, excuse me.
Yeah. A. He lives and disappears from the story. B. He is killed at Dol Guldur. C. He is killed at the Battle of Five Armies. D. He is killed by Saruman. E. None of the above. I was about to say E. He's killed by somebody else. But no, that's not the answer. Does this riddle give you the impression that we have it in for Radagast? I promise.
You guys do.
There's
for Radagast.
There isn't real, like, it's not that there's catharsis involved in this riddle or anything, because there's totally not. I just want to make that clear.
But do his bunnies live? That's what I want to know.
There you go.
Certainly not. Certainly not. Oh, Kate Neville is predicting a horrible and unexpected plot twist wherein he is stabbed in the back by Sebastian the Hedgehog. Oh, et tu, Sebastian. Oh, man. Phew. That would be just like the most scarring thing that could happen.
That would be awful. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're being swayed by the fact that Gandalf ends up with Radagast's staff. So I don't know how important that is to, you know, to point to that Radagast dies. But for me, that's kind of a, you know, makes it more likely in my mind.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm going to say B. I think he's going to be killed at Dol Guldur. I think he's going to be killed during that battle. Or as a result of the battle.
I think which answer is awesome here is perfectly plain. He is killed by Saruman is plainly the answer.
No, it's true.
Plainly the answer. It's true. The double crossing, the way to... Because this, you know, accomplishes both the tragic death of Saruman,
yes,
or of Radagast, sorry, as well as the reveal to the viewers that Saruman is actually evil, but,
yeah,
you know, Saruman can still bamboozle Gandalf into believing that, you know, like, that he, like, came too late to save him, or something like that. Yep.
You guys. Well, I said A.
That's right, because you said A for like the next four, right?
I did. I just don't think that. I think if anything, Radagast may cross the sea or something like that. So I just don't.
Which could be an E.
Going to be killed. Yeah.
I mean, lives and disappears from the story is like there's no explanation. E would be.
I know. Well, you know, I was really mad when they killed Saruman the way they did in the Two Towers. So. You know, and Radagast, yes, he doesn't show up in the movies, but he is definitely in the book, The Lord of the Rings.
I would really like to see him leave on the boat for the West. I think that would be awesome in the movie, but I just don't see there being time to take time out of the story to show that him doing that.
Yeah.
So.
I really want to see Saruman kill him.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, Sharon Hoff has a minuscule and quibbling question, I would say. Why would Saruman kill him, she asks. As if he needs a reason.
But we have actually talked about that, and exactly what Sharon said, that Radagast witnesses some action on Saruman's part that shows that Saruman is betraying the White Council, so Saruman has to kill him.
Plus, he doesn't like his teeth.
Right. That's right.
That was clearly established in the first film.
Saruman just doesn't like Radagast, period, right? He had very nasty things to say about being a mushroom eater.
But how would he hide that from Gandalf? If Saruman kills Radagast, how would Gandalf not get wind of it?
Gandalf finds him over Radagast's body, and Saruman is there, like, pillowing poor Radagast's dead head on his lap, and I came too late, my friend.
Well,
one of our order is slain. Come, let us grieve together. Saruman could totally do it.
And Saruman can do it with the Morgul blade.
Then
so
Gandalf
like
isn't much of a wizard if he can't figure that one out.
You know, but Saruman is really convincing. You know,
I know. I suppose Gandalf the Grey maybe couldn't figure it out. Gandalf the White would definitely know. So, but nope, I'm sticking with my answer.
Both Sharon and Brian Biggs are suggesting at the same time that Saruman uses the Morgul blade. To kill
Radagast. That's what I was thinking too. Which would be a great setup because then, you know, obviously it wasn't Saruman that killed him, it was somebody from Sauron's.
Exactly. See, he has a weapon of the enemy, of course, like they might recognize.
Which could explain how the Morgul Blade ends up there, because remember we said, how are they going to get the Morgul Blade back, you know, back to Sauron?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sorry.
Nope.
Buddha just woke up.
Was that Roach?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
That was Buddha acting like
Roach. Oh, no.
We do have talking animals on our show, however, even if we don't have talking animals in the movie. Will Elrond show up?
In Trish's house.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Will Elrond show up? No.
Yes, I believe that the small population, you know, the executive White Council that had its meeting at Rivendell will all show up. I don't think that Elrond is going to be the only lame person who doesn't show up for the party.
Only lame duck.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there. I don't have good reason.
Don't we have evidence? I know we're eschewing evidence, but haven't we seen like photos of him in front of a green screen and partial set that is Dol Guldur? Wait, don't we have even like confirmation like
is it in the Lego set?
No.
Exactly. That is the crucial question.
It's like a photo of Hugo Weaving where somebody it's being described by an official person as, here's Hugo Weaving at Dol Guldur.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, we had Azog on the balcony. And then he
That's right. he's gonna be edited out of Dol Guldur.
Gonna be edited out.
It's gonna be like,
for time.
Yeah, that's right. They're gonna digitally replace him with Orlando Bloom.
Show up. Hugo Weaving is gonna show up to the premiere and be ticked.
I know, really. You know, that could actually become like a metaphor we use. Oh, that is so Azog on the balcony.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, all right, but we're out of time. Dave, quick.
Riddle, I'm picking D and Conundrum, yes.
D and Conundrum, yes. Okay. All right, excellent. All right. 3.10, where will Sauron be during the Battle of Five Armies? Fleeing or feigning to flee from Dol Guldur, headed to Barad-dûr. B, remotely, which may or may not include, like, a map of Middle-earth with, like, a moving red line, you know, tracking him as he goes down towards Barad-dûr. B, remotely directing his remotely directing his armies. C, taking part in the battle in person. D, lurking ominously somewhere. E, none of the above.
Well, I said A.
I'm with Laura.
Surprise.
D.
You're going D?
D. Clearly lurking ominously somewhere. And the reason I say this is that I think for purposes of dramatic tension, there's like he's going to flee from Dol Guldur, but it's not going to be known where he is. So people, including Gandalf, are likely to still be afraid he's going to show up. I don't think he's going to show up, but I think they're going to be looking over their shoulders. And even the viewers are not going to be clear on where he's gone until we get the big ribbon-cutting ceremony at Barad-dûr at the end of the film.
So even if we don't actually see Sauron lurking, if they play his theme at any point, right?
Exactly.
We know that he's around somewhere.
Exactly, yeah. See, I mean, B and C...
If you see some flames coming out from behind a barrel or something.
Exactly.
Or a black inky cloud.
Edge of an eye.
Exactly, yeah. Some suspiciously active-looking shadows lurking in some places. B and C require visual confirmation. Like, we need to see him doing it on screen. Yeah. So, you know, so that's not like we assume he must be doing this. Like, B and C would mean he is depicted doing those things.
And B and D is the difference, Kim, there is that in B, he literally has command of his armies. He's in, like, telepathic communication. We see him, you know, we hear his voice, you know, directing Bolg or something. D, he's not doing that. He's just lurking, but not actively commanding his armies.
Right, right. Yes, if there's a moment where Azog is like, yes, master, I shall do as you command, then that's B.
Yes.
Is the difference between A and D simply timing? I mean, what if, is it just in the case
during
of
the Battle of Five Armies? The question is during the Battle of Five Armies, not later in the movie.
Yeah.
In the case of A, okay, so we're talking during the battle, not during the film named after the battle, first of all.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Not during the film named after the battle.
That's why it's called the Battle of Five Armies instead of the Battle of the Five Armies.
The Five Armies.
He departs Dol Guldur at the end of the Battle of Dol Guldur.
Yeah.
And then we don't know where he is. All we know is he's left Dol Guldur, and then the Battle of Five Armies happens. Is that A?
That would be
he was in the course of fleeing, or is that D? Oh, he was lurking somewhere. What if he flees the battle of Dol Guldur and then stops along the way and lurks?
or if we have no idea where he is at all during the Battle of Five Armies, and he only shows up later, then it would be E.
I seem to recall D was our catch-all answer for if we don't know where he is and we're really and there's on screen and there's dramatic tension over his whereabouts.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not to say that the guy can't lurk a little bit on his way, right? I mean, you know, he doesn't have to just go straight to Barad-dûr with no lurking whatsoever. I mean, it's a free country, but he
in the case of A, there's no dramatic tension.
Yes. Exactly.
There's no. We're sure he won't show up because we know he's on his way to...
Exactly.
Do the characters on screen have to be aware of this fact or just...
Yes, I would think so. Here's a scenario that I could imagine for A. At the end of the battle, Galadriel says with, like, Galadriel-esque authority, He has, you know, Sauron has returned his ancient fastnesses in Mordor. Then, like, and everybody, you know, we and they all believe her. That would remove the dramatic tension of anybody looking over their shoulders. Is he going to show up at the Battle of Five Armies? Or is he going to be, you know, so basically, is the Battle of Five Armies taking place? It would be a kind of a, well, at least it could look like a kind of a mop-up operation, you know. Because the dragon's dead, Sauron's been taken care of, now we've just got this big goblin army to manage. And once we do that, we're in the clear for now, until later on.
Wait a minute, though. I mean, the characters have to be aware?
Yes.
I know, that was one of my questions.
Because
too.
In the book, the people are not aware that he is
well,
gone.
Well, now, keep in mind that Corey can be as definite as he wants to be, and the listeners will make the ultimate decision here. So, that's true. You know.
Yes, but walk a fine line, judges. Don't you kind of defeat the whole purpose of this if you go around reinterpreting the riddles against our clearly expressed, like, here's what we meant by this riddle. Everyone's picking their answers according to what we've just explained. If they go and say, nah, we're going to reinterpret all the answers, you're going to piss off a lot of people, so don't do that.
Right. Well, but I think we're going to do a democratic process, so, you know, hopefully everybody will see reason, by which I mean how I define the riddles. So that's
well, he will be attempting to sway the listeners during the
exactly
voting, so
exactly
okay.
Tom Hillman says the author intends, the quiz means, so there you are, exactly.
That's
so wait, what, so say he is going down to Barad-dûr, but the characters aren't aware of it, what answer would that be?
If they're afraid that he's going to show up and say as much, D.
See, my thing is, if the characters don't know, I mean, nobody's going to say, oh, he's obviously fleeing for Barad-dûr. I mean, the characters aren't going to know that. We'll know that.
Galadriel could totally say that.
Well, I could imagine them defeating him and him being off, and him taking off and people saying, where is he off to? And Galadriel saying, you know, knowingly, like,
absolutely.
To his ancient stronghold, of course.
Oh, okay.
We've been tricked or something.
Yes. Well, exactly.
Then I'm gonna change my answer at A*. That he's fleeing to Dol Guldur, but they don't know.
But they don't know. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Conundrum.
Yeah, conundrum. We're over time.
I guess, so what you're saying, Laura, is that no one on screen will be afraid that he might show up.
No, I think that he's going to be fleeing to Dol Guldur, but they're not going to know that.
Because I think...
They might be afraid that he's going to show up.
Because the crux of D, the way we've defined D, D is if characters on screen are like, oh my gosh, Sauron might show up, we don't know where he is, that's D.
Yeah.
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 Even if he is on his way to Dol Guldur, if they're worried he might show up, then it's D. So I'm just saying, if that's what you really think is going on, you might want to pick D.
Okay. But I'm not going to. Okay, conundrum.
Okay, conundrum, yes. Will the witch, sorry, the question, will the Witch King make an appearance at the Battle of Dol Guldur? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What did I say? Yes.
Unanimity!
Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
Give ourselves a couple seconds.
Okay. All right. Riddle 11. How does the battle between the goblins and the three allied peoples, men, elves, and dwarves, begin? A. The allies are about to fight or are fighting when Gandalf stops them, warning that goblins have arrived. This, of course, is the book answer. B. The allies are about to fight or are fighting and are stopped by someone other than Gandalf. C. The allies are about to fight, but they see or hear the orc army arriving before they start. D. The allies start fighting and the orcs attack in the middle of their fight, that is, without anybody, Gandalf or otherwise, warning them and telling them to stop. E. There is never an imminent threat of battle between the three future allies.
Well, I said A.
Surprise!
I think I said D, and I'm sticking to it.
Come on, Corey, you're supposed to change all of your answers.
Well, I think that my Sharon is asking, is this related to if Legolas spots the orcs? Yes, that would be one possible B answer, is Legolas pops up and says the orcs are coming. Yeah, that would be a possibility. No, the reason why I believed D and still believe D is that I think just like to increase the drama and the sense of tragedy. I think that they're like charging towards each other and then stopping suddenly. A is likely to look dorky on film, and I know for a fact will remind me personally of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So I think they're going to avoid that. And I think that they're going to... the battle will be engaged, though probably not for very long before the orcs attack, because what I expect to see is not... Come, let us have a council very quickly before the goblins attack, which, again, is what happens in the book. And instead, to see the leaders on the field, Bard and Legolas and maybe Thranduil, if assuming he doesn't get killed when he's ambushed in ruins for some reason, which I still can't understand, and Thorin and Gandalf basically acting in the field. You know, this gives them an opportunity to sort of turn and, you know, have like a very brief but probably dramatic, you know, battlefield conversation, and like they shake hands and then they rally their people. So I think the way the flow of it, I think, is going to work much better if it's D. So that's a
well. By the way, the question about Legolas spotting the orcs is not necessarily connected to this, because it could happen before they even march to Erebor. In other words, he may spot the orcs and go to Thranduil's hall and warn his father, which is what prompts Thranduil to march. So Legolas warning his father about... It's the specific question is Legolas warns his father. So it could happen prior to that. It's not necessarily connected.
I mean, we could have Thranduil knowing full well that there's an army of goblins coming and him standing and... I mean, maybe what he's saying to Thorin at the gate is, we just wanted to let you know that there's an army of goblins coming, and we're here in arms because, like, we're about to be attacked by orcs, so you might want to help, maybe, or not. And then Dan comes in and attacks them for no reason. Like, this could happen and everything, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be a surprise. This is why I never believed in the Legolas idea in the first place, because I think it's going to be a surprise.
What's the difference between C and A and B?
Basically, the difference between A and B and C and D as a group is the turning, like the pivotal intervention of an individual. A and B have in common that both of them contain the pivotal intervention of an individual. Gandalf in A, somebody else in B. In C and D, no individual person warns them. They either, in C, the orc army is about to come, and, you know, I mean, if somebody on the edge of the army says, look, goblins, then, like, I don't think that counts. We're talking about like a Gandalfian intervention to stop the allies from fighting, as in the book. That would have to be B, except it be not Gandalf, but somebody else. They're there, things are tense, but then the goblins, are spied marching towards them. You know, they see the goblins coming in the valley and say, oh dear.
All right. So C is like a messenger, not an important... A and B are... A is specifically book answer. B is somebody, named character who's involved in the story, stops them before they start fighting, but not necessarily with, oh, by the way, I just saw goblins over there.
Right.
C is more generally like just somebody shouts, goblins! And...
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, I originally picked B, but I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. It's obviously D.
Yep.
I'm sticking with A.
Clearly.
I'm sticking with A.
Okay.
I think that's a... Laura, I admire your book answer sticking.
And I do. Well, I just think it'd be really cool to have Gandalf stand up and yell,
"You fools! Stop, you fools!"
Exactly.
I agree. And it's one of those things where, like, the reason I'm picking D is, you know, like, Jackson has a comment about, oh, yeah, we want to jump into the action. And they've been talking a lot about how this is going to be an action movie, and supposedly it's going to be the shortest one. So, like, in my imagination, I can't imagine this working well on screen and not seeming slow and interrupting the flow of the plot in any way other than what you've described, Corey, which is literally the dwarves and elves and men are running at each other, and then goblins come out of nowhere and start shooting them and attacking them. On the other hand, that might just be a failure of imagination.
Right.
It could be, we'll go watch it, Laura will be right again, it'll be the book answer, and we'll be like, oh, wow, that worked really well. So... I'm going with D.
Yeah.
Kim says, what if the allies just begin to fight when the orcs are spotted? Does that still qualify as D? I would say yes.
Yep.
So yep. The allies start fighting and the orcs attack.
Yes, they receive no warning, but the battle has already begun. They receive no warning and the battle hasn't, you know, no advance warning and the battle hasn't begun is C. They receive no advance warning and the battle has begun is D. Okay. Will the five armies in the battle be clearly identifiable?
This is a new conundrum, by the way, because this is the one that had the repeat of the Roach. Will Roach be present? So I took this one out. Yeah, and it's a tough one. I'm not sure. Clearly is the
in the sense of each of them wearing numerical placards on their front, like marathon contestants.
I think they will be clearly identifiable because it's called the Battle of the Five Armies, not the Battle of the. Well, we're not sure how many armies.
The definite article is like a promise,
battle
you know.
Of the Five Armies.
That's right.
So, in other words, we're going to walk out of the theater being absolutely crystal clear what five armies fought in that battle.
Nope.
Yes.
Out of curiosity.
Well, maybe not if you're six. But the rest
of us will. Is that in years or in mind?
out of curiosity, when we say will they be clearly identifiable, are we saying to us or to the characters on screen?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Are we saying someone's going to, someone's going to count?
Just like in the Rankin-Bass film?
Well, I think to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think to us, but I think it probably almost would require that. Yeah. I mean, I think to us, but I think it would almost require somebody like Gandalf or somebody saying, oh, there was here and this and this and this and this.
I'm saying no.
You think, like somebody will come on screen and say, oh, look, there's five armies here right now.
Yes.
I don't think that's required.
I think they will.
For us to know.
As long as...
But I think it's clearly identifiable to the audience.
As long as Bilbo doesn't state it in that intolerably like, smug... tone of voice that he does in the Rankin-Bass
film. Like in the Baskin-Robbins
version? Yeah, the Baskin-Robbins version. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then there's the question, are the wargs a separate army?
That, I believe, is going to be the question. I believe that the general viewing public is still going to be confused as to whether the wolves or the eagles form the Fifth Army in the Battle of Five Armies.
No.
And that's why I'm saying no. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pick no
now. Okay. Riddle,
I'm saying yes.
12.
I'm sticking with it.
Sticking with
it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's good.
Okay. Which Erebor dwarves will live and which will die in the Battle of Five Armies? Thorin, Fili, and Kiwi. Book answer. Thorin, Fili, Kiwi die, and one or more dwarves. So remember, this is the complicated one where A is the book answer. We start with three dwarves, right? So the question is, like, are you going to raise me a dwarf or are you going to go down, right? Okay, so B is... the book answer plus more. So we're gonna get excess dwarf carnage in the battle. So four or more dwarves, including Thorin, Fili, and Kiwi.
And these are the Erebor dwarves, so we're not gonna talking about dying or any of his
Whatever. Yeah, clearly they're gonna die. But anyway, so of the Erebor party. C is fewer. So Peter Jackson is gonna kill off fewer main dwarves than were killed off. So again, and C is rigidly fewer. Like there have to be two or fewer, only one or two dwarf deaths. So Thorin dies, and either Fili or Kiwi, but not both. D, Thorin lives and other dwarves. Like, basically, if Thorin lives, the answer is D. Like, that's like the answer to itself. Like, it's, and then E would be none of the above. And the primary none of the above would be, like, Thorin dies, Fili and Kili both live, but for some bizarre reason, like, you know, Owen and Ori both kick it. Like, that would be an E example. So some other bizarre permutation of dwarf fatalities would be E.
So A is book answer, B is Rankin Bass answer.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
C is Corey answer. D is online Thorin should live petition answer.
That's right. That's right. D is the petitionary answer.
And E is we don't want to enumerate all the possible combinations answer.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. So E is if we haven't covered it, it's E.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yes, and of course, as Dave has already mentioned, this one I do remember perfectly clearly what my answer was, and it was C, that I think that Fili is going to live, Thorin and Kili are going to die, and that is it.
Yes, and I agree with Corey, going with C as well.
And I was pointing out, and would point out briefly again, Peter Jackson's penchant for not killing off his main characters.
Right.
There is no track record in Peter Jackson's Tolkien films for him killing off extra people.
Right.
I will be very surprised if B turns out to be the answer. I won't be shocked if A turns out to be the answer.
He's required to.
Yeah. I won't be shocked if A turns out to be the answer. I mean, that may certainly well happen. But I will be shocked if B turns out to be the answer.
Mm-hmm. Or D.
Or D, yes. That would be very shocking.
So let's see. So, Kate, if you think...
Thorin lives and everyone else dies.
If you think that Thorin, Kili...
That's the Gerhardt answer.
Right. Kate, if you think that Thorin, Kili, and Bifur all die, that would be E. Because it's some other... That would count as a different combination.
Yeah, because D, Thorin lives, Kate. So Thorin lives.
Thorin lives is the defining point about D. Like, nothing else matters. Like, all of the other, you know, like, 12 could all die, and Thorin lives, and the answer would still be D. Because the D is just like, if Thorin survives, the answer is D. And it trumps any other comparatively trivial question of what other dwarves live or die.
Right, E, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That would be an A. I would agree, by the way, that Bifur is a good candidate for an additional death.
Yeah.
He certainly is not a character who has a long future.
Yes.
You know, and Bofur, you know, Bofur would be a great candidate for the same reason. He's like a non-entity as far as the books are concerned, but yet he's been made a very significant character in the film, and his death would be a really emotional moment. Presumably,
but I think
you're
thinking about Jackson not killing off, unnecessarily. I think
exactly. That's why I'm inclined against that.
So, Dave, what did you say yours was for 312?
C.
Did you? C.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm convinced. C-C-C-A. I'm convinced Fili is going to live.
Yes. And the conundrum, will Toriel die with Kiwi? Yep.
It's a must.
I said yes.
She must.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not even a matter of, for me, it's not even a matter of, like, cynically thinking, like, oh, I think that'll change the thing. No, I actually think that is the best story in the film.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really dumb if Dayan ends up being king under the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
I'm sticking with A.
Okay.
As you should. Laura.
A, I think, is really, like I said, in my heart of hearts, I think A more probable, but I think C more awesome, so I'm going with C. Okay. Riddle 13. Where will the deathbed conversation between Bilbo and Thorin occur? A, in a tent in Dale. B, on the battlefield. C, in the mountains. D, it doesn't take place. E, none of the above. So if Thorin lives, if the petition people have their way, then the answer would be D.
Now, I want to say, Adam Parsons brought up a really good point here that I think is really a wonderful thing. He thinks in the mountain. He thinks because it would be a really good contrast to the unexpected party, where they're surrounded by, you know, friends and good food and whatnot, and talking about going after gold, and then in Bilbo's house, and then they're in Thorin's house surrounded by gold, and Thorin's talking about friends and good food.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree with that sentiment. I think it's going to be, they're going to use that contrast.
I'm going with C also, so I'm glad I'm in agreement.
The book?
Agreement with Laura.
Well, the book. Yeah, I'm going with C.
Well, see,
it'll be better on screen.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
The setting in the book is, it's not a visual setting. You know, like,
right.
where that scene happens doesn't really matter much in the book. I mean, whereas how it looks on screen is going to matter. You know, I think it's going to have a bigger impact. So I love the symbolism of his being in the mountain. I mean, he could accomplish much by having Thorin, you know, carried into the mountain posthumously, you know, to a dwarvish funeral procession into the mountain, you know, with Thorin dead on a bier would be also moving and everything. Sharon asks, if it's not in a tent but still in Dale, is that still A? Yes. Yes, it is. It is. Or if it's, unless, Sharon, it's like explicitly in the battlefield. I mean, it looks like some of the battle is going to be taking place in Dale. If the exchange between them takes place with, like, corpses lying around them, then that's B.
That's B, yeah.
It would have to be. I mean, the sort of the spirit of A is, you know, in a place of safety after the battle, like near the battlefield, but not in the mountain.
Sharon knows. She says, so is Exile going to go look for Thorin in the mountain? He might, but that doesn't mean, Thorin can be carried into the mountain while still alive and die in the mountain. So it's not that he's going to die where he is, you know, mortally wounded necessarily.
Yeah, I think he's going to get mortally wounded, but he's going to have, like, a proper Shakespearean amount of time to, like, have speeches and even be moved around and stuff before he finally kicks it.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Dave, did you say? You know, Dave's the one that's making us go over time today. I just want to point that out.
It's a persuasive... You're making a persuasive point. I originally said book answer, but, yeah, in the mountain kind of makes a little more sense. I was thinking, you know, it takes... Like, they have to move him up there, but I'm sure we're going to get a shot of him being laid to rest in the mountain.
Yes.
Right. We have to move him to the mountain at some point anyway.
Right.
All right, see, in the mountain.
Now, on the battlefield would be my second choice. I mean, I think the way that I had first pictured this was on the battlefield. Like, that had been kind of my assumption all along.
Kind of a Theoden kind of scene.
Exactly. Just like Theoden. But then, you know, the more I thought about it, and, you know, I became convinced that certainly, while in the mountain is certainly less probable in that it requires more in terms of logistics, you know, like, quick, while he's dying, but before he is dead, let us move him into the mountain and then give him an opportunity to have a conversation with Bilbo. Like, granted, that requires more coordination on their part, but it is obviously more awesome. So,
but it could also be one of his last orders as king: "Let me die in the mountain."
Right, exactly. That's just what I'm thinking. That he's, you know, he wants to die in the house of his fathers, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I'm getting choked up as you say it.
I know, isn't it great? Will the Arkenstone be buried with Thorin? Yes.
Yes. It's like, let's get rid of this thing. It's too much trouble.
Yes. Especially after it starts doing its supernatural thing.
Absolutely. Though I believe that its supernatural power will remain in effect, whatever that power is, which I still don't know. And I'm glad I don't have to go on record as guessing, by the way, exactly what the mystical power of the Arkenstone will be.
Oh, Dave didn't do the conundrum. What's a conundrum, Dave? Yes? Okay.
I think it'll be buried with him.
Okay.
Okay. We're doing
good. With the justification for not burying it with him.
Yeah.
Well, the justification would be if it does something really useful that they still need.
But I've gone on record saying I have no supernatural
powers. Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Well, then you have no excuse.
Okay.
Riddle 14. What is the attitude about the future in the Erebor region after the battle?
I also, for the record, I do want to say that a nice story point would be if all of this was about getting the Argonstone, the right to rule and all that, and the lesson learned from the battle is, you know what, screw that crap, let's get along, nobody rules anybody, we'll be friends, we'll just bury this thing with Thorin, and we'll move to the post-Argonstone world
of
race, interracial relationships.
Right, and I think that that's what Sharon Hoff is just suggesting, saying Feely will make a wise decision. Yeah, if Feely lives, you could see him being like, and now let us put to rest like this curse upon our household. You know, let us set aside the. I will set aside the greed of my father. Boy, you know, Feely, really, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And could you see Dan doing this? No, I'm sorry, I don't see Dan doing that.
He just hasn't even read the books.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, okay. However, we've already used a minute and a half of our next one. Okay, what is the attitude about the future in the Erebor region after the battle? A. They think that peace is here to stay. B. Everyone believes it is the beginning of times of war and they need to prepare. C. They recognize the possibility of war, but they're not making active preparations. D. There's a strong division of opinion. E. None of the above.
I went with C. I think they're still euphoric. So they're, you know, they, oh yeah, that'll be someday. I mean, it's coming, but we're not going to worry about it today. It's either C or D in my mind.
I said B on this one. Just because, and I didn't say the book answer because he hadn't written The Lord of the Rings when he
did
the book, you know. So I think to tie it into the next set of movies, the Lord of the Rings movies, that they're going to be talking about war and preparations for war. They're not going to be feeling like everything's over.
I think I'm going to change to D because I think there's going to be a division of opinion. I mean, I think Laura's right. I think some people are, but I don't think everybody is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Gerald asks, is rebuilding the ruined fortifications of Erebor and Dale active preparations or just rebuilding? It depends on the
context.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect them to address this because Gandalf is there. I mean, it's going to come up. You know, I expect what does not happen in the book, that is any connection between what Gandalf was doing. Remember, it's not even revealed what Gandalf had been up to while he was gone until in Rivendell on the way home. So, you know, it's not really an issue at Erebor. I think it's clearly going to be an issue at Erebor. He's going to break the news to them that, like, you know, Sauron the enemy has returned and so I think they're all going to, you know, set themselves to preparing for war. I seem to remember, I have a vague memory of having like a very specific scenario worked out in favor of B, but I can't remember what it was.
See, I mean, I could argue against B because, again, we don't necessarily know that they... I mean, they could seriously be duped and think that Sauron's been defeated at Dol Guldur. That's still a possibility.
Right. In which case...
You know, in which case, then they wouldn't think there was...
It could be the book answer.
And also, Gandalf is, you know, in Fellowship of the Ring, he doesn't seem to really be clued into the fact that there's war going on. I mean, he seems to be kind of his normal firework self, you know, so I don't know. That's a toughie.
Yeah. Yeah. Noam asks, what if the White Council is worried and everyone else isn't? That's an excellent possibility.
That would be a D, I think.
Well...
It's an obvious division.
No, because it's in the Erebor region, I think, though. Like, division would have to be like between Thranduil and Bard and Feely or whatever.
Yeah, you're right, because the White Council could be saying, there's a problem, and the people in Erebor could be saying, no, we're done, the dragon's dead, yay!
Yeah, I mean, if we just leave everybody in the Erebor region, like, you know, cheering and throwing small children up in the air, then we go back to Rivendell and have a grim, you know, meeting of the White Council, that would be either A or C, depending on, you know, how they
Sharon
express
points
themselves.
Out that we covered that in the episode, and that we said it would probably be, if it would be A, if the people in Erebor are just strictly in denial, and, you know, they think peace is here to stay.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, darn it.
We're still okay. We've got 15 minutes.
Man, this is a tough one. I originally put A.
Oh, you did? You did the book answer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember Corey making an eloquent argument about how if this story, like, if this story, and this kind of cuts to, we've brought this up several times on Riddles in the Dark over the last month, that the movie has, the trilogy has an identity crisis of sorts. Is it a Lord of the Rings prequel, or is it a Hobbit story, a self-contained Hobbit story? And it's kind of both, but they have to make decisions along the way. And that this is one of those decisions. The more satisfying Hobbit story is the one leaning more towards a resolution, like, yay, look, things are in good shape. The more, perhaps more satisfying Lord of the Rings prequel is the one that anticipates the next film. Maybe C is the compromise answer for that.
Well, and let me make an argument for D even under that heading, which is I can't see Bard being convinced Peace is here to stay in any situation. So, but I could see the dwarves thinking, maybe, or even other people in Dale thinking that we're okay. So I think Bard is going to be a holdout no matter what. The big question is everybody going to be in agreement with him or not? And I'm going to stick my neck out and go with D.
Or the master could run for office on the peace ticket in the next election cycle. Or Alfred could run for office.
Right. And Bard would be
going to be dead.
Violent opposition.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Just accused of being a warmonger by Alfred in the
right, right, exactly.
Yep.
All right.
I'm going with A. I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Good for you, Dave.
Thanks.
All right.
Stick with that book answer.
All right, conundrum.
Are we going to see Bilbo in Rivendell? I say yes because I think we're going to have a setup for Elrond repeating his invitation to come stay, which will lead us to Fellowship of the Ring.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see Elrond. Yep.
No, not enough time.
You're holding out for the auction.
Yep, I think we got to get back to the I think we got to get back to the Shire quickly.
Well, it's true that we don't want to take any time away from the auction, but yes. I think they can do that. I mean, I can't
Peter
see
Jackson
them.
Keep saying shortest movie out of all six.
Yeah, well, I don't trust you.
We haven't seen it. Yeah, we haven't seen it yet.
We'll see. I hope it's not. I mean, I really dislike that.
The thing is, we are talking about the theatrical release and all of these. I mean, some of these scenes could actually definitely show up in the extended edition, but yeah.
No, theatrical release, we'll get Rivendell. No questions. Okay. Riddle 15, the final riddle. What will Bilbo's relationship with the ring look like at the end of movie 3? Not including the frame. He keeps it with him and regards it as a useful trinket. He keeps it with him, but is distrustful of it. He stores it away and doesn't use it. He considers it a souvenir and keeps it on his mantle. That's the Rankin Bass answer. And none of the above.
I'm going to step out here.
Which is the book answer?
And I'm going with A also. And the reason is, and we talked about this in the episode, I think in spite of the fact that we've seen him be fearful of the ring and wonder what the heck's going on with the ring and stuff, I think by the end of the movie, the ring will have worked its magic on him. And he'll be doing something like, I don't know why I ever was afraid of this ring. I think it's a great ring. And I think he's going to be keeping it and regard it as a useful trinket at the end.
Yeah, A is definitely the book answer. I mean, that is, it's sort of, well, very loosely paraphrasing the comments that Gandalf makes to Frodo about Bilbo's attitude towards the ring in the beginning of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave?
Corey hasn't clicked yet. Are you going to click, Corey?
Oh, you haven't clicked?
He hasn't clicked.
I'm thinking. This being the most recent riddle, which we only did 2 weeks ago, I can't remember what I said 2 weeks ago. So
I don't think you said
B.
A. Somebody can look. Dave's B. He keeps it with him.
Corey
said
stressful.
B. Oh, B.
Said
no,
B.
You said B.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, I'm trying
Bilbo
to remember.
Bilbo enters
how
into
it
a multiple personality love hate relationship with the ring.
This is another trilogy identity question.
Yes, it is. It is.
Sharon asks if he's creepy about the ring instead of just useful. Is that E? Do you mean like in a Gollum kind of way? Like it's my precious? And yeah, okay. So if he's kind of like icky Gollum-y behavior?
Yeah, that would be E.
So it's not that he's saying it's useful. It's just that it's his ring. I'm keeping it with him because it's mine.
Yeah, you know, come to think of it, we probably should have made that one of the main answers. Like, he keeps it creepily, and like,
creepily.
You know, pets it and strokes it regularly.
It
you know?
Right, pulls it out and looks at it, yeah.
I put A before, and I'm going to stick with that.
Okay.
I'm on both these answers. I am choosing to believe that they are going to make the decision to emphasize the resolution of the Hobbit story, not just things up to
prequel.
The next film.
Yeah. Okay.
I disagree in this regard. I think that Dave, thinking along the same lines, I think that they are going to focus on resolution, but the resolution is all going to be around the Erebor story. I think that mm-hmm. the Ring and Bilbo provide them their opportunity to basically have their cake and eat it too, where it is a happily ever after, except for the people who died story for the dwarves and Erebor, but it enables them to also at the same time have it be a clear prequel and lead into the Lord of the Rings by having Bilbo still being kind of twitchy about his ring. I would expect him to be, I mean, the fact that he's going to keep it and everything, I expect him to be kind of divided about it. I mean, I would not be surprised to, you know, hear him claim it and maybe even use the word precious and but I think he's going to be demonstrably uneasy about it. So that's why I say B. Okay. Will we see the auction at Bag End in the theater version? Clearly.
I said no, and Trish was very upset with me when I said that.
So. If you think that was very upset, you have not
or
seen
no,
it.
No, and Corey was upset, too.
Yeah,
I
that's
right.
I that's said ridiculous. No. Yeah, no way. It's a ridiculous suggestion that they would cut the auction. I mean, of all of the crucial scenes to include
well,
in the film.
Well, it is the shortest film, and
you could do the
I
auction in less than
time.
30 seconds. I could give you a 15-second auction.
We'll just have a subliminal flash of the auction.
Exactly.
And it'll actually, just be Sharon asked the question, how will they cut from the auction back to the frame? But that actually could be how they cut from the auction back to the frame. Because remember how he talked about Lobelia stealing the silver in the beginning?
I mean, exactly.
That could be, you know, where they shift back to the frame. Yeah.
Exactly.
Get the silver back.
Exactly. That's just the line I was going to say. Like, you know, so you just have, you have Gandalf and Bilbo coming over the rise, and then you just give like 5 seconds of shots of like everyone standing in shock looking at Bilbo and Lobelia putting the spoons behind her back and Bilbo sort of scowling at her. And then you cut to Ian Holm saying to Frodo, and I never did get those spoons back.
Right. Well, right. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
I bet you haven't talked Laura into it. I bet Laura's still a no, though.
Oh, I'm still a no.
She's,
yeah.
You know, you are steady on your convictions. I like
that
about you.
I am, and I looked up all my answers, and I wrote the same thing down. So, I'm not switching.
You're consistent. That's good.
Well, like they say, never change your answer. Stick
there
with
you
it.
Go. There you go.
Okay, so the bonus section is...
Now, I have a question here, and I can... this now. I have said 1 point for each right answer. Noam makes the very valid point that everybody could just click every single one and be assured of getting some points because there's no penalty for wrong answers.
Oh, no.
Should we deduct a point for people
correct answer,
saying somebody's going to die?
Yeah, correct answer would count like correctly identifying who lives. So, yeah.
Okay. So 1 point for each right answer. So if somebody's checked and they die, that's a point. And somebody's not checked and they live, that's a point. Correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. Correct. Now, you know, we'll have to think about how we scale this. With these worth 1 point apiece, and the like, basically this could be worth more than all the conundrum put together, you know, so that...
I'm thinking we're doing half a point here, because we have 2 points for the riddle answer, 1 point for the conundrum.
Or maybe even a quarter, but...
Yeah, so some fraction of a point.
Some fraction of a point.
To be determined.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's see. So I we're running out of time, so I will do this quickly. Let's see. Dwalin clearly lives. Feely, we know he lives. Keely dies.
Ori lives, Dory lives, Nori lives, Bifur lives, though still with an axe in his head. Maybe he gets another weapon implanted in his person somewhere, I don't know, but I suspect he still survives it. Bofur lives, Bomber lives, he's too fat to die, Owen lives, Glowin lives, Bjorn lives, Radagast, no way, Bard lives... Ooh, Bard's daughters.
I know, Dave. See, Dave's the one with the daughters. Dave's the one that wants to kill off the
Bard's daughters.
No, 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 no. They're not.
I said
die.
No.
Come
I,
on.
I'm not gonna
be
tempted.
Cruel
I'm
to
tempted to kill off Bard's daughters, but I don't think it's going to happen.
They're too sweet.
Toriel dies.
It seems a little brutal for Peter Jackson.
It does for Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the master? Well, Dian is another one. Do you think, especially
Dian
since we
dies.
Think, yeah, you're gonna yeah. okay. Master Ooh, Blaketown. Yeah. What about Master Blaketown?
Wait, Master Blaketown dies. Alfred dies. Azog and Bolg both die.
Azog and Bolg to me are the gimmies of this list. You know, so it kind of ensures everybody's
yeah,
going to be too
both,
correct.
Yeah.
Now,
both,
people,
yeah.
several people have asked me about Thorin not being on the list. I refuse to put Thorin on the list. I'm
no.
sorry.
Yeah.
And Balin.
Yeah.
Either of those are going on the list because that's just not. It's just, they're not.
If you
it's
think that Thorin is going to live, yeah. then guess D on that riddle up there and you'll get two whole points.
that's right.
So,
that's right.
yeah. It's totally immature.
I mean, otherwise we might as well put Bilbo on there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we'd have to put everybody.
Right, yeah. Bilbo, Gandalf, Galadriel,
Sauron.
You know. The, yeah, yeah.
Lobelia.
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 Grubs, and Burrow separately.
Well, she dies, in the Lord, she dies in the Lord of the Rings.
That's right, that's right.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Sauron, okay. yes, that's Sauron.
Sauron, yeah. Elrond.
Okay, now are you going to hit enter? So, and when
okay.
I receive this,
right.
I will make it your official entry.
Enter. All right, there we go.
Oh, well, it doesn't say enter to beat anymore.
I doesn't say enter to beat, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's because originally Trish had cockily put in enter to beat Corey.
But there's not enough space.
Yeah, there aren't enough characters on the button, so yeah, we had to change that. okay. Does Smaug live? Oh, yeah, it's okay. We didn't include that one either, Noam. That's true.
See, that's another one. I'm not going to...
Yeah, we're just going to be taking that one for granted, too. Okay, good.
All right.
Wow. We did it.
We did it.
We did it. Yep. And I do have to go.
Yes, me too.
Thank you so much for joining us, Laura. It was really a treat to have you with us.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did get a couple. When Dave was thinking, I got a couple.
Excellent. And the whole episode, by the way, is under 2 hours long. So there we are.
That is really a miracle.
That is discipline, I'll say.
That is
amazing. It is. Okay. Well, God, this has been fun. Now we're about to shift into phase three. And as I told Corey, we already have plenty of stuff to use. So there will not be... our intention, I believe, is to still go with a two-week
schedule. Yeah, we're
going
to keep doing every 2 weeks. So we plan to have our next episode 2 weeks from now, where we have... We've got stills to discuss,
yeah.
and there may be yet more things to...
It's more a matter of just picking what we're going to talk about as opposed to even trying to deal with everything that's out there. So I'll be dicing and slicing, and you know we'll come up with specific themes for each one.
Right.
Cool.
Very good. Well, thank you, everybody. So I will say thanks for listening, and Godspeed.